Move to the fifth case this morning, United States v. Hunt.
May it please the court, Daniel Hillis for the Federal Public Defender's Office. And in this case, I represent Mr. Hunt. He raises two challenges on appeal. The first one, the government concedes, so we're not going to be addressing, unless the court has questions or is reluctant to accept the concession, about the condition that requires notification of third parties about risks. That's a vague condition that's well established under...
Oh, I've got a question about it.
Okay.
Why isn't it waived?
Well, vagueness, of course, Judge, we've got due process case law on that subject. We've made, and I'll just cite for the record, Adkins, that's a written waiver. Here we have just something that's oral, and it was unintentional, so this falls clearly within the wheelhouse of an unintentional relinquishment. Liberal construction, which is required of waiver, puts us outside the ambit of any waiver argument, and furthermore, the case law is on both sides of this issue, waiver or not. It depends on what time of the court's history it seems that we're addressing these things. We did pretty well once upon a time getting past all these waiver arguments, and then Gabriel and the like came along.
Then I started getting assigned to some of these cases.
Was that it? Okay. So
that's part of it.
It may be like the government
says.
Well,
I think the cases have given, since those initial cases, since mm-hmm. U.S. v. Thompson and the initial supervised release issues, this court has given more guidance to the district courts of what you need to do,
sure,
which does raise waiver issues then for the defendants. And the district courts have been following the instructions of the court of making sure that the defendant has read the conditions, discussed them with his attorney, and giving the opportunity to waive or asking them at the end if they have any further questions or want any further elaboration on them.
That's part of it, but I think as part of the instructions from the court was, or at least implicit, is to read the case law and make sure that you've reviewed the conditions yourself. So somebody is including conditions. Probation officers certainly have notice of these things, and they keep putting them in the PSRs, Judge. So there's a part of the process that's still not functioning here. And if everything that you said is true, and I accept that it is, defense attorneys are supposed to review this, so is the government, how is these are getting missed? These are misses. These are not waivers. And if you want a waiver, put the guy on the record and say, this condition says this. It has vagueness issues in it. Do you wish to voluntarily relinquish that challenge? That would be an acceptable waiver. I think this just says a miss again.
So would you agree then that the judicial district issue was waived here? Because there was no objection to that. Our case law has since said that judicial district is not vague and is right. Suggested you could put scienter in, but there's no requirement to include scienter. So under those conditions, would you agree that you've waived that issue?
No, I don't think so, Judge.
What else should the district court judge have done on the judicial district issue?
I mean, well, let's start with judicial district. The guidelines say federal judicial district.
But this court has already said judicial district is fine, unless you're asking us to overturn those opinions.
No, I'm just trying to tie into what the statutory requirements are, which is the ultimate here. So I understand what the court has said, and I'm not disregarding the court's jurisprudence, but I am trying to point out for all the cases that have been decided heretofore that have rejected the scienter, none of them seem to discuss. I can't think of one that discusses 3583D3. So to me, as I'm trying to decide on how to approach a case, if that issue is consistently not addressed, I cannot write an Anders brief because I think that the court's decisions are contrary to what Congress has said. So if we get more guidance from the court on this issue, I think that'd be great. But I don't think that there's a waiver issue here because of the reasons that we said. The scienter inclusion is supposed to temper against any sort of vagueness, right? That's part of the jurisprudence.
So in order to avoid waiver, even though this court has said scienter does not have to be included, you think district court judges should be including it?
I think the district court judges should follow the law, and that includes not just what this court says, but what Congress says in the statute, 3583D3 being the example, the pertinent policy statement of the guidelines through the commission's enactment of 5D1.3C3. I think those are important touchstones, Your Honor, not to disregard the court's recent statements. But again, if the court hasn't addressed 3583 D3, then I think that's a hole in what we have so far as the necessary guidance. It could easily be addressed in a forthcoming opinion, and so the court can take that for what it's worth. However, we do have this. We know that the government has no intention of revoking people for unintentional violations. We heard that earlier. So that's good news for us, because then there's no harm in adding the scienter requirement. So if that's the case, the government's resistance to the simple addition of a scienter requirement sends a pretty mixed message here. But ultimately, it's what Congress has said to do. It's what the commission says to do on this. And I think that the court should address 3583E3, what the commission has said.
E3 or D3?
D3, I'm sorry. E3 is the worst part. That's where you get revoked for violating the condition.
I know, that's right. Why I was asking.
Right. No, I misspoke. But that's why it's important
that
to
happens,
do this.
You know.
I've heard. Yeah, I've seen. So anyway, we would like to have as few mistakes and as few people in jail as possible for all the good intentions of the government and the promises that everybody will act reasonably. Having the law be in the right shape under what Congress has said to do, I think, is an important thing, and that's worth accomplishing here today.
Mr. Hillis, you also filed, or an appeal was filed from the revocation itself, but you don't seem to be arguing that here. Are you not challenging the court's revocation order? You've challenged the two specific conditions of supervised release, but there was also a notice of appeal of the court's initial revocation order of the supervised release. Are you pursuing that appeal?
No, there's nothing additional to be pursued in that, and the government asked for dismissal of that. We had nothing that we raised in that, so we don't oppose that. We just like these corrections, and they're fairly modest. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry, Mr. Hillis, I thought you were asking here for a complete resentencing.
Well, it is something that the court can do. So the sentencing package, again, we've got Kappus that had as little as few as one person had one condition of supervised release. So we would like Mr. Hunt to have a chance to have that sentence reduced. He's an older guy. He has a lot of issues. So yes, we did ask for that because that's consistent with what the case law allows. But I also recognize that this court has been reluctant to do that with some of these conditions recently. So I know the court will do whatever it thinks is just in this case. We've asked for a full remand. And if it's not, we'd at least like to get this much corrected through a limited remand. Anything else? Reserve the balance of my time.
Not right now.
Good morning, Tim O'Shea for the United States. Let me address the plain error versus waiver thing. We didn't assert waiver here, Your Honor. The United States advocates, but also reacts. And our view of this court's decision so far has suggested that plain error should apply. Go ahead and correct us, and we'll react differently next time. I really don't have much to say about the geographic restriction. Clearly, the court's cases suggest that the words judicial district are just fine, and now that we know under Poulin, Givens, and Mr. Hillis mentioned the case that came out yesterday, we know that the scienter element is not necessary. I will only note that in his reply brief, Mr. Hillis suggests that the court would serve the defendant in clarity well by handing the person a map or a list of the counties. You know, I respectfully submit that doesn't make a lot of sense. The reason that the supervised release condition is written broadly to be a generic any judicial district where the person is supervised is it recognizes that people are released to the non-sentencing district when it's appropriate or transferred to the non-sentencing district when it's appropriate for that person because there are more resources there. As the court knows from the pre-sentence report, Mr. Hunt was born in Michigan, grew up in Chicago, has family in Waukegan and in Milwaukee. He has real no ties to the Western District of Wisconsin. The PSR would suggest he first arrived there when he's 54 years old. Who knows where Mr. Hunt will be designated in 12 years, but that is why it doesn't make sense to hand out a map or list out the counties. Any questions for the United States?
Mr. O'Shea, the government here has conceded error with respect to the third party requirement.
Right.
There are a couple of cases up this morning where error has been conceded on that. What is the government doing on sentencing cases now to make sure that is cured and doesn't happen again in the future?
I'll tell you what's going to happen. So I am going to bring this up at the next criminal meeting and make sure that that is flagged for my colleagues.
It's probably worth getting the word out at the office.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Mr. Jones?
Be really short. I think the only point to rebut here is about how difficult it would be to provide a map. Wherever you're going to be released to, they likely have that necessary information. So I don't think this is very burdensome. It gives adequate notice. It gives easy notice. You go to the district. Districts have lists of included counties for the judicial district. I know that was the practice for the central district. You can find that information easily. That map could be provided. It's hardly a burden. It is something that, again, if we want to put people on notice and not have unintentional violations and people coming back in prison for technical violations that really get them off track on their rehabilitation, which is the whole purpose of supervision, that would be good to do. I'm unconvinced about the efficacy of supervision in a lot of these conditions, but if we can make changes like this that seem to be in the spirit of the fairness and the necessary things that should be done to give people notice, that's certainly worthwhile. I have nothing further.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.